It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI. WEEI.
Oh, boy. KJWEEI. Yes, it is Sunday. It is early. It's cold. And so are the Celtics. How you doing? 617-779-7937. That is also the text line. We will also talk about what's going on with the Patriots behind closed doors. The Bruins, they stunk it up again. Yeah, I mean, look, before 11 o'clock gets here, you'd be like, damn, KJ, that show went fast. And so are my feelings about the Celtics being this just unrelenting championship NBA defending title team. What you just heard is what I've been saying, encapsulating the issue with the Celtics moving forward throughout this season, is being in love with the three and getting beat when you try and go get a two. You just heard that right there. What was going on? For those who saw let's just get to overtime. Let's not even discuss how the Celtics blew a lead. Let's not even get into that. You've got a three-point barrage going on. Trey Young, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. They're hitting threes in overtime. But the Celtics hadn't really been hitting threes all game, okay? Like, last minute. I think three of the 15 were made in overtime. So what happens when they don't start falling? This is what I talk about. The Celtics then try and go to the paint. And things like that happen. You get rejected, you get the ball back, it gets stolen, pretty much the game's over. You can tell me that you had no Horford, you had no Porzingis. Look, I only want to have those conversations if you say there was no Tatum and Brown. If there's no Tatum and Brown, then those are one of those days where you say, you know what? I hope the guys can hang in there. But if you're going to tell me that you need Porzingis and or Al Horford to beat the Hawks, oh, boy. That doesn't sound like championship stuff. Look, you could point to Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is one of those guys who's just been kind of a disappearing act in the middle of, you know, like in real life. It's like almost like, gosh. It's like going to see the Jackson 5 and Michael Jackson is standing at the back because he's the shortest. It's a little bit like that. And, you know, Drew Holiday took, you know, look, it's my fault. Look, If your two superstars cannot perform at the very end of the game or have a turnover at a key point in overtime, that's a problem. You saw Trae Young showed that, hey, I can hit long threes too. What? The Celtics are 1-7 when they shoot, 30% or worse from three. And guess what the Celtics like to do? Shoot the three. Jeez. Seven of the 13 losses. More than half of the losses that the Celtics have this year can be pointed directly to bad three-point shooting. At what point do you value a two-point bucket? In the middle of the game. You know, some people may say it a disparaging remark, but it kind of is. I can care less about that. Is like, I hate the WNBA and of the NBA. Like, if I watch a WNBA game, here's the things I don't expect. Dunks. In an NBA game, I expect to see people going to the hoop. Dunks. If I watch a WNBA game and there's a lot of three-point shooting, I get it. Most of those women out there are not 6'7" and above. But if you've got two wing guys in Tatum and Brown who are considered the best in the league, you just want to kind of just always do it from 23 plus? What is this, 23 and me? David Azer, thank you so much for being here as my producer this morning. You're up early. I'm drinking my coffee. It was made right. Can you be picky about how your coffee is made? Do you drink coffee? David stepped down the room.
Sorry, my bad. Mike wasn't
Wait,
up.
This is, do you drink? You drink coffee, right? Do you drink coffee?
Yeah, I do. I'm not too picky about it. I would just
do
a classic iced coffee. I mean, I don't really experiment.
Oh, so you do the sugar and the straw. I mean, your teeth will be gone
basically,
shortly, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your teeth will be. That's what when you drink coffee, you have a lot of sugar in it. You should drink it with open volume, not with the straw. But a dentist is kind of gonna look at me like, you drink a lot of iced coffee, huh? All that sugar you pull from the bottom. But that's the whole thing. I get it. You shake it up. But that's what I'm saying about the Celtics. Is when do you start to shake things up? Because all you're doing is sucking on the sugar at the bottom of the cup with this three-point shooting all the time. This is what I was saying last week, and I asked this question with John when I was on with John Lyons. And I got a Celtic sweatshirt on right now. I mean, I think that's as homer as it gets. I mean, I'm one of those type of people that says, you know, look, call it as you see it, even if you're a fan of it. Don't try and make excuses of it. You know, like if your kid turns on the stove and burns down the house, you don't want to say, you know, next time don't turn on the stove and burn down. You got to tell them what, like, I got insurance to pay for and all this and everywhere. Where do we live? All this stuff. But my God, with the Celtics, come on. If you believe that this team, the way it's shooting threes this year, remember, more than half of their losses are directly correlated to their poor three-point shooting in a game, 30% or under. This is going to be a Cleveland team in a seven-game series? You really trust the Celtics to hit over 35% from three consistently in potential seven-game series? Because now... Here, the Celtics went from looking unstoppable last year. At this time last year, they were running away with it. I mean, you could have started Luke Kornet at all five positions last year, and the Celtics were still going to win by 10. This year? Just wait it out. Right? Because last night in the game, you're like, okay, there's hope. Look, you look back at the Orlando game, and then even into this Hawks game, after that second quarter they gave up 31, you're like, okay, they kind of tightened the screws, and then the screws got loosened. So it's like, if you're going to be shooting these bad threes, and this is the other thing, they teach you this when you play high school basketball. Long missed threes make for quick rebounds that you can get out on the fast break quicker. Yeah, this is the other baffling thing. If there is no Al Horford and no Porzingis and you're shooting a bunch of threes, that's a lot of who's the size in there outside of Luke Kornet? Now, don't get me wrong. Luke Kornet had a nice game last night because it was the only guy who's the only option. Amos Quetta gave you nothing. But I'm going to get on those guys for what they're supposed to deliver in a game. If you've got Tatum and Brown, fully healthy, Tatum a little bit with his shoulders, you know, but you've got those guys in the lineup against the Hawks team that seems in a weird way just has your number. But it feels like I took some shots the other day when I said, I used the example of the 88 Pistons. Now, some of you might be like, oh my God, the 80s? Like, how old is this guy? And I would say, dummy, like just go to, that's what YouTube is for. You can see all of this magical stuff. It's like, bring rainbows. They traded away their leading scorer because their leading scorer, Adrian Dantley, did not fit in what they needed to be in order to be a champion. Now, you might go get Mark Aguirre, and Mark Aguirre was a great scorer, but Mark Aguirre came to the pitch. He didn't become their top scorer. I think he was like fourth behind Thomas and Dumars. Maybe he comes in around third, maybe fourth, probably a little bit below Lambeer, about 15 a game. Yeah, what are the Celtics going to do? You know, remember the kind of, Tillman, you know, this is why you get someone like, I thought Xavier Tillman would be ideal. Coach's decision, did not play. When there's no Horford or Porzingis, it doesn't play. I just do not see a path where the Celtics are repeat NBA champions unless there's some type of shocking move at the trade deadline. And I don't mean shocking as in Tatum or Brown. Like, do not buy this stuff about, oh, Steph Curry for Jaylen Brown. Will they move Jaylen Brown? No. Tatum and Brown stay, right? But then you have to ask yourself, in 2 years, does this team pay Porzingis $46 million a year? Do you hop off that train now? You might say, well, you know, you're overloaded in the backcourt. Maybe you trade off Drew Holiday. Ask Milwaukee how they feel about that. Literally, Milwaukee has not been the same, nor have they really been championship quality since they did this. Let Drew Holiday go. Now, Drew Holiday has a lot of money attached to him as well, and I would get the sentiment. But, I mean, my gosh, Porzingis has taken off more vacation days than people on the Greg Hill show here. And he just came, and Porzingis just came back. This would have been game 24 if he had played. I know there's the rotating and rest and everything like that, but you know what? Are you really getting the results that you're hoping to get? I mean, look, against Orlando, you put up 20, you got like five rebounds, and you're 7-4? Celtics got to think of something. I mean, look, this is not playing shock or anything like that. It's like you have 13 losses, and the team in front of you who you're chasing has 6. You're literally talking about the Celtics are 6 games out of the top seed in the East. You're like, oh, well, you know, it's still number, like, this is what champions do. Like, the idea about being a champion is to absolutely throttle people and get people rest. You're 15-8 at home. You know what the Cavs are at home? David, just take a guess. How many games do you think the Cavs have lost at home? They've lost 6 altogether. How many games do you think they've lost at home?
I know they lost one to the Celtics, so I'm going to say 2-3? 2. Jeez, yeah.
2 losses at home. See, here's the math works in all the in basketball, football, baseball's a bit different, right? But where with baseball, it's kind of like, okay, you're gonna win 40, you're gonna win 60, you're gonna lose 60, and it really the secret in the sauce is what happens in those other 40 games. So baseball really comes down to 40 games, right? The NBA, the idea is go 500 on the road. So the Celtics do that fine. They're 14-5 on the road. But you need to be around 750, 800 at home. This is like a 600 team at home. You're supposed to take care of home. Do what you need to do. Fight and scrap on the road. I don't get it. Because these little one-offs are starting to become a little more common. And I would say this. If the one-offs are starting to become more common, then what happens when you're in a series with a team's like, okay, let's do that to them again. Eddie in New Hampshire, thanks so much for calling WEEI. Good Sunday to you.
Hey, good Sunday morning to you guys, too.
Yes.
So I think my whole projection, I think they just got soft after winning the championship. Mm-hmm. They didn't put the work in the offseason that it takes to win another championship. Now they're in coast mode because it's like halfway through the season. They're like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're there. We'll do what we got to do, right? Everybody be healthy. That's not a plan, okay?
Yeah.
Just so and the thing about Cleveland, when they run against these teams that go right through them, they don't have anything to stop them. They can outscore them, but they can't stop them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. That's the point.
That's what you're running against right now. So the point, what I'm saying, it goes back to the off season. So obviously too many of them said, hey, we're great. We're champions now, right? And they didn't put the work in the off season they needed to do. It's like, I could just say, so this is the funny thing about our superstar, right? You should never ask for a call. Do you know why? You should be so bulked up whenever you go to the basket. You're so jacked up. You don't bounce off them. They bounce off you. And you still score.
Yeah, Eddie, thanks so much for the call. Yeah, that's what I've been saying is, when you've been doing all this three-point shooting and they don't fall, and then your default is, okay, let's now go to the hole. It is not the ref's job to make up for your mistakes of missing shots from out there in 23 in me zone. Davey, you like that term. I just made it up, that 23 in me zone.
Yeah, good call.
Because that's all they do is just to hang out at 23 in me. Me going to take one from 23. And then when you start going to the hole, like you said, that's the other part. I feel like the fan base rug pull with the Celtics, you like that term right there, how I use that and kind of what's going on, is fans start to feel like, man, the refs don't give the Celtics any calls. They get no calls. Tatum's getting no calls. Brown's getting no calls. Clearly they're foul. I give Scal a lot of credit. He adds to the emotion to it. But what we kind of know is, the ref is not going to make up for your deficiencies from shooting all those three-pointers, and then suddenly you're coming to the refrigerator trying to take steaks, and you get your hand slapped, and nobody's gonna blow a whistle on that. I'll continue the conversation from the Celtics. That's coming next. Plus, we'll hear from Joe Mazzulla post-game last night. It's KJWEEI. Join the conversation. 617-779-7937. Yeah, I know it's early, but damn it, I've got coffee. I'm fired up, and it has no cream in it. Time for David Azar and Trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending here on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Bruins lost in a shootout against the Ottawa Senators yesterday afternoon. The final score was 6-5. The team gave up two goals late in the third period for the Senators to force overtime. Jeremy Swayman had 39 saves in the loss. As KJ and I were just talking about, the Celtics also ended up in the loss column last night after falling to the Hawks 119-115 in overtime. A late mistake from Drew Holiday in the fourth quarter led to the Hawks forcing overtime. Jaylen Brown suffered a head injury but was able to finish out the game. The Patriots have requested an interview with Chargers passing game coordinator Marcus Brady and have completed an interview with Bears interim head coach Thomas Brown for their vacant offensive coordinator position. NFL insider Ian Rappaport named Josh McDaniels as the favorite to land the job. The Kansas City Chiefs are headed to their seventh straight AFC championship game after defeating the Houston Texans 23-14. The Washington Commanders are also moving on to their NFC championship game after shocking the world and beating the Detroit Lions 45-31. This is Washington's first NFC championship appearance since 1992. Stay tuned later in the day for Westwood One's coverage of the NFL divisional round right here on WEEI. Coverage begins at 4 p.m. with the Los Angeles Rams and Philadelphia Eagles facing off to join those Commanders in the NFC championship game next Sunday. I'm David Azar. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the Ultra Comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
See, I told you size matters. KJWEEI 617-779-7937. That is Joe Mazzulla. 60 points the Celtics gave up in the paint. Virtually half of the Hawks. See how the 50% thing kind of works? You know, like the argument is, and this is why you see so much three-point shooting. I think Rick Pitino, I know that's a cursed word to say, you figure that, hey, if a team takes 100 shots a game, which is a kind of about right where it is, okay? If you shoot 50% from two, taking no threes, you get 100 points. But if you shoot 40% from three-point land, you get 120 points. So you would win the game by 20. So the idea is you don't have to be as efficient from outside from three than you would be to be from two, right? So to make that an even game, the team that shoots nothing but twos and shoots 60%, which is very unlikely and just even from side of two, would be in a tie game with a team that shot 40% from three. But what happens when you start shooting 30% from three? Well, damn, there's only 90 points around there. In an NBA game? Yeah, maybe in 1992, you'd be like, oh man, you guys got a great chance. Now, probably all of them would get benched for doing that. But this is where we are, where over, like, this is my, like, I'm not going to have this extended conversation about, like, who the Celtics play in 2 weeks. I could care less about that. My whole thing is once you get into the 7-game series, and if you know that the Celtics have really no physicality to them, that's what the playoffs are all about, is physicality. Like, I think this is what teams have decided about the Celtics. You could push them around. They really don't have any enforcement. There's nobody that scares you when they go to the hoop. I mean, unless Porzingis has on some UGG boots inside of his sneakers to protect his feet, but damn. There's no fear with the Celtics. And then the other side of it is you don't have to fear them trying to go to the hole. This is what's absolutely crazy from last year to this year. Last year, defensive rebounding for the Celtics, they were 8th in the league. Right now, they're 22nd. 22nd in rebounds? Like, okay, KJ, you sound like some type of Bobby Knight clown. It's rebounding and defense, man. It does. See, because rebounding, you know what it does? It prevents second shots. It prevents putbacks. It prevents being out physicaled in areas where you don't have any physicality. I've always said that if Jason Tatum is going to end up being the leading rebounder for this team, and then you're asking him to be the leading scorer. But then when you look and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, some of the best games that the team has performed is when Tatum has an above average number of assists, lower points, and higher rebounds. That's going to last forever? Huh? Now, look, last year, took the most 3 points, made the most 3 points. This year, fifth most 3 points, fourth in made. Their percentage in terms of making it down is about 7%. They're about seventh in the league. 26th in two-point attempts. 26th. You're going to do that against the Cleveland team? Orlando, yeah, okay. They're kind of like the new kids on the block, and do you really fear? No, you kind of reminded Orlando like you're just not ready for prime time yet. That's okay. Nice team. You can always visit Disney World while you're there if that's still kind of a cool thing. But I'm really not worried as much about Orlando as, say, I am a surging Pacers, who have length, who have size, who was the team that gave you the most fits in the playoffs last year. The one who matched your energy earlier in the season. Remember at the beginning of the season, you were like, damn, could this Celtics team be one of those teams like Golden State or Miami from a few years ago that goes on one of these 17, 18, 19 wins in a row? You felt that they possibly could. But then there was Indiana, and it was just like, you know what, we're going to kind of remind you. And I wasn't really freaking out when the Celtics lost that Indiana game early in the season, because you could clearly see that the Celtics were kind of fatigued in that game. They used a lot of effort just to get back. It was the game that was like almost in the 140s. But as I've joked, once you start getting those 120 Celtics, they start running into a problem. Like, wow, there's not been the defense on hand as you would expect to be from this team. You thought they turned the ship around once you got to the third quarter. They gave up 21 points last night just to give away 31 points again in the fourth quarter like they did in the second quarter. And then you give up 15 points in overtime, and overtime is, what, 5 minutes long? Like, teams are not scared of the Celtics. And, like, the caller from the last break, he's kind of right. It feels good to all run it back with your favorite guys and everything, but championship teams do make adjustments, and sometimes those adjustments are kind of controversial. It has to be explored. Look, Brad Stevens is such a great guy that pretty much everybody who's kind of worked around the office has been promoted. But as I said, in 2026, the market number for Kristaps Porzingis is $46 million a year. Like, if you're trying to still chew the fat on thinking that, wow, the Celtics are going to have two guys they're paying over $60 million starting next year with Tatum and Brown, Porzingis is going to be the next guy at 46? And he's played, what, 18 games out of the 23 since he's been back? That's like the 18-5 the team is on the road. I'm kidding. You get that, David? Like, 18-5, like he's missed 5 games and out of the 23 you could have played.
Yeah, I got you.
And this math going on at 8:30 in the morning, damn it, here in WEEI. Yeah, I here's where I will give a little bit of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Grace. The team, I think, probably a bit distracted by the announcement of the sale of the team. That you probably don't make a lot of hasty moves. That you probably wonder, and maybe not so much at the player level, but at the personnel level, you probably don't try and go and make other bigger deals because you don't necessarily know what the new ownership will think about in terms of bringing in new players and getting new large contracts from outsiders, right? Because you can. It's much easier to negotiate from the inside, right? If you've already got Porzingis here, you can, you know, or Derek White, those guys. And I think Derek White was a smart buy, but after last night's 5 for 16 from three, oh. Well, at least the three-point attempts look like the money you're getting. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. I do wonder. Because some of the interesting teams, Atlanta is one of those teams that's sitting around 7th, 6-7 in the Eastern Conference. And we'll get into NBA crypto here in a couple of minutes, just kind of buy or selling the teams across the league. Yeah, the Hawks are 6th. So right now, like if you have the playoffs, there's the Hawks and Magic are literally tied for 6 and 7. So with the Celtics being at 2, would I be absolutely scared of the Celtics and the Hawks in a opening round series? I'd be a bit concerned. I'd be concerned. Because guess what? The three-point shots weren't going down last night at home, right? Like that's the other thing. These shots are not going down at home. You're losing this game at home. I can mention the back-to-backs that you lost in Atlanta last year. Look, things happen when you're on the road. That happens. That's why you want to go about .500 or just a little bit better than .500 on the road. Win some, lose some. At home, it should be win 3, lose 1 out of every 4 games. That's really how it should be if you're the champions. It shouldn't be anything less than 75% tile win percentage. That's 63, 62. That says to me, like, you can be had. Now, on paper, do the Hawks sound like they're a problem in a 7-game series? One could argue, like, maybe they just don't have the legs and the wheels to be able to hang with the Celtics over a 7-game series. I can understand that argument. One's a champion. The other one's just figuring out how to close out things. But what if you figure it out against the champions? Like, what if that happens? Or what happens when you get into a next round with the Knicks, who have better size that can score? You know, like, if you're going to tell me, like, hey, you know, Porzingis has to guard Karl Anthony Towns and vice versa, who do I give that advantage to? Brother, you would not consider me serious if I told you I'll take Porzingis. Huh? No. I love the Celtics. I have since I was a kid. But I have to be honest about how I feel. I'm not going to be like, well, it's just Atlanta. Or it's just a bad game. It's been several bad games. Toronto was embarrassing. I know Porzingis didn't play last night, but my God. Before that Orlando game, man, his plus minuses were looking like my report cards. A lot of minuses. Minus 17 versus Oklahoma City. They're playing like champions, like, and they got a bigger gauntlet to go through. That's the crazy thing. As great as Oklahoma City looks this year and have been against everybody, on national TV, on closed circuit TV, because they don't get their games really shown that much. No matter where they've gone, they have carried their ass-kicking stick with them. But yet that West is so it's so convoluted with talent in the 6-7, like teams that you feel like they could make a run. Like with Dallas, the NBA Western Conference champion last year, somewhere like 6th in that division. Now they have Luka, but I'll get into crypto here shortly, but. Yeah, they still may lose out. You just don't feel like there's anything that shows that. With the Celtics, I mean, there are glaring things that show that right there. You saw it, like, let's just go back to the Sacramento game, right? Sacramento, Domantas Sabonis has 28 rebounds just by himself. I don't know if I ever told you this, David, when I was a kid, like 7th, 8th grade. Shaquille O'Neal's family was stationed inside of what would be like your middle school division area. You know what I mean? Like that, like when you play these basketball tournaments.
Yeah, I got you.
So in this one tournament game that we played against Shaquille O'Neal's middle school. He scored 44 points.
Unsurprisingly.
Okay, right. So I remember getting a shot off from a corner three. It didn't hit. So I might have been like 0 for 1. I might have had a Stephen A. stat line in that game. But I remember everybody surrounding him at the end of him. And they're like, Shaquille. That's how they're saying his name. And his father got a new assignment and moved to San Antonio the next year. Everybody was just like, this guy's not going to grow up to be in our division. He ends up moving to Texas the next year, ends up in magazines when he's like 15, 16. I guess they say the rest is history. But when he had left Fort, when his dad got, you know, changed out of Fort Monmouth, we were like, oh my God, thank God. We have a chance now. I think that's how the Eastern Conference feels as the Celtics keep shooting up these threes and then looking for calls at for twos going to the hole when they're not making these threes. Like they teams feel like we have a chance. All right, still to come, we'll talk about what I mean, the Bruins stunk it up yesterday on the road as well. I mean, at least they scored some goals, but I got to get into these Cam Neely comments about the two paths you can go by. Like, it's like a bad Stairway to Heaven song. What's going on with the Bruins? Who might really be the fall guy when everybody's you might be screaming the right name of who should be gone, but who may actually be gone out of it? That I'll tell you who that is. That's still to come. But right now, let's do NBA crypto looking around the NBA. Hit it.
Bang, zoom. Gonna be in the moon.
$1.
Thank you, Lewis.
Bang,
zoom.
Gonna be in the moon.
$1.
Thank you, Lewis.
$1.
Gonna be in the moon.
You're selling, Mortimer.
That's ridiculous. Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
You know, it's funny that this game is called NBA Crypto. Look, KJ here on WE is a little bit different because some of y'all are getting rug pulled right now and don't know it. It's literally trading places going on. So let's look in the Western Conference. What teams we buy, sell, or diamond hands and hold, believing that that's where they're going to be. The Warriors will actually start at 11 with the Phoenix Suns. Look, they're 20-21. They've lost. They're six of their last 10. They've won two in a row. But they still have to figure out what they're going to do with Bradley Beal. There's so much meat hanging on the bone saying Jimmy Butler for Bradley Beal, but Bradley Beal has become untradeable. I'm not going to buy the Suns being the 11th place team. I think they'll still figure something out. I'm going to sell the Suns being an 11th place team.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
However, the Warriors at 10, everything around them is 10. They're 5-5 out of the last 10. They're 10-10 on the road. They've lost 10 games at home, but yet they haven't been a 10. Even though they've won two in a row, I am buying the Warriors to probably struggle in this 7-10 play-in game. I'm buying the Warriors being a 10th place team. You just heard me talk about Domantas Sabonis and his 28 rebounds. Well, they're 8-2 in their last 10. One of those wins against the Celtics. Look, 10-8 on the road. So they're above average when they go on the road, but yet they're underwater at home. I think part of that had to do with just them not connecting with Mike Brown. I'm selling the Kings being a 9th place team. I think they're a little bit better.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
However, the Timberwolves, what a disappointment. You thought they made the right moves. Getting rid of Karl Anthony Towns, who seemed to be checked out. Now that guy's checked into the MVP conversation. They're 22-20. They've lost 5 of their last 10. They're 12-10 on the road. They're 10-10 at home. I think I see a losing streak. I'm buying the Timberwolves being one of these play-in teams. All that timber falling in the woods, does it make a sound? The Mavericks, you kind of feel for them because, look, no Luka. They had a little bit of a surge with Kyrie, but Kyrie can only do so much. Klay Thompson really kind of built for a tertiary role. He's not got to step up into the secondary role. They've only won 3 of their last 10. They're underwater on the road. They're pretty decent at home, however. I am going to buy the Mavericks being like a 7th place team. You know, it's so hard to hate. Well, it's easy to hate on the Lakers, but it's hard to give the Lakers congratulatory. Like, if you told me that the Lakers would be 5 games over 500 at this point, more than halfway to the season, I'd be like, really? But yep, look, they've won 6 of their last 10. LeBron James, I mean, I guess anytime he steps on the court, he's breaking a record at this point. I mean, like, at what point do you got to give the guy a gold watch just for being around 30 years and get out of here? But look, the Lakers are a team that I think will not be in that play-in tournament role, so I'm buying the Lakers to not have to be in the play-in tournament at 6. Huh. Ooh, that hurt my skin just saying that. Clippers are at 5, and they've been a fascinating story, right? Like, they've had nobody at the beginning of the year. They kind of, they've laid eggs on the road, but here they are in 5th. They've won 3 in a row, 6 of their last 10. I'm buying the Clippers to be one of these top 5 teams in the West. You know, you ever hear the term the great value, and then that's the adjective that describes something? Like, the Nuggets feel like the great value NBA contenders and former champions because they really only have 2 brands on the shelf, and everybody else could, like, could you name the third person? Well, you can name Russell Westbrook, but we're not talking about Russell Westbrook from, like, the Oklahoma City days, but the Nuggets are in 4th, and they've figured out a way to get Jokic the rest that he needs to get. I'm buying the Nuggets being a top 4 team, especially winning 7 of their last 10. This is still a dangerous team. This is the team that these top 3 teams, this is why I'm really enjoying the NBA this year. The Grizzlies are at 3. Even though they've only won 5 of their last 10, they have won 2 in a row. They've been unbelievable at home, pretty good on the road. I like how this team is gelled quickly already together. Ja Morant has stepped right back into his role. Desmond Bane is clearly, they have leadership on this team. And keep in mind, Marcus Smart really hasn't offered up what Marcus Smart's supposed to be for this team because Marcus Smart barely has played for them. I love the Grizzlies at 3. For number 2, I like the Rockets. And here's why I like the Rockets. Number 1, I love Ime Udoka. I'm sorry, I will always be a fan, right? So, look, they've won 7 of their last 10. This is a team that has turned around quickly. But I have to hold them at 2 because I don't think they're the best team in the West, even though they are the best story. So I'm going to diamond hands the Rockets at 2. Ooh, I'm going to hold them at 2 because nobody's taking out the Thunder at number 1. 34-7, 8-2 of their last 10. They've only lost 2 games at home. See what champions... 2 losses at home and unbelievable on the road. Only 5 losses on the road. The Thunder are just absolutely the beast in the West. But those other teams right behind them are going to make it fascinating. If you told me that the NBA Western Conference semifinals would come down to the Thunder, Rockets, Grizzlies, and Nuggets, and you've got the Thunder and the Nuggets going up against each other, that just would be fascinating. All right, in the Eastern Conference, let's start where the Sixers are because the Sixers are making the most noise at 11, but they've lost 5 straight. Embiid has gone down. Look, I don't have to tell you how bad things were to start, but after the little run they had about a couple weeks ago, they've only won 2 over the last 10. I'm selling the 76ers even to be in this 11th spot. I think they end up dropping out to one of these teams behind them.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
Boy, the Bulls are like the Dallas Cowboys of the NBA. They celebrate their victories from 25 years ago, and they just put out eggs that lay. Maybe they've got some trade bait. Who knows? They've lost 4 in a row. They've only won 4 of their last 10. They've lost 15 games at home and have only played 23. See, this 23 numbers keeps popping up. Maybe Jordan is letting them know. I'm selling the Bulls being anything better. Sell the Bulls at 10. I think they'll even be worse.
Turn those machines back on. Turn those machines back on.
How about that Heat culture down in Miami? A 500 team. Tyler Herro's your superstar, and you tried to get rid of him with every fiber in your body last year for Dame Lillard. In fact, if Dame Lillard called and said, hey, I'm changing my mind, I want to come, I think they'd still trade Tyler Herro. No Jimmy Butler. Gotten very ugly. Jimmy Butler pretty much says, you can trade me to the Shanghai Sharks and just get me out of here. They've lost 3 in a row. They've lost 6 of their last 10. I'm buying the Heat to be this bad continuing on. Miami, y'all suck. Pistons are at 8. Look, they're 20. They're a 500 team. They've won 7 of their last 10. I'm not going to wax poetic about what the Pistons are or not, but if you tell me they're the number 8 seed, I would believe it. So I'm going to hold the Pistons to be number 8. Diamond hands in Detroit right now. Wait until we start talking football. The Magic at 7. They've dropped a little bit. At one point, this is the 4th best team in the East. Now they're 7th. I think some of their youth is starting to show. They're a very bad team on the road, 9-13. Great at home. They've only lost 7 games. They've lost a couple in a row, of course, one of them to the Celtics. I'm going to sell the Magic at 7. I think they might be a little bit better than this.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
Because I don't know how to describe what's going on with the Hawks at 6, right? This is a team that's won 3 in a row. You saw what they did against the Celtics last night, yet they have a losing record on the road. So, like, what is believed more, the losing record or the team that's on the run? So I'm going to sell them slightly, possibly, to really end up around the 7 seed. I think the Magic will bypass them. I mean, they're literally tied in the same spot. So I'm selling the Hawks at 6.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
Oh, these guys are the pebble in the Celtics' shoe. The Pacers are in the 5th position. They've won 8 of 10 after a slow start early in the season. They're 12-12 on the road, so they're 500, but they've only lost 7 at home. They've won 2 in a row, and I think they're going to be a problem. I'm actually going to buy the Pacers to probably move even ahead of this position at 5. Because at number 4, I see the Bucks. Look, they've won 7 of 10, 3 in a row. But they're 8-10 on the road. That may catch up with them. So I'm going to sell the Bucks at 4 because I think they end up as the 5 team, even though they're only a half game above the Pacers.
Turn those machines back on! Turn those machines back on!
The Knicks at 3, I'm buying that because, look, they've lost 6 of the last 10, so maybe this is a little bit of their lull. Good on the road, just as good at home, so they're not flashing anything different. So I'm buying the Knicks at 3. I got to go diamond hands on the Celtics, and it doesn't feel pixely magic because even though they've won 6 of their last 10, this is a team we should be having a conversation all the time of winning about 7 out of 10. So diamond hands for the Celtics right now, even though those diamonds feel like they're from Sierra Leone. Those conflict diamonds there you have in your hand, De Beers. And the Cavs, they're just running away with it. They're 6.5 games above the Celtics. Look, I know the championship is not won in January, but guess what? Seeding is kind of won in January. And if you told me that the Knicks and the Celtics would play each other and then you would have to go and play the Cavs, I think the Celtics could be very beat and decimated versus the Cavs feeling like they've got to do a lot of work against the Bucks right now. So diamond hands on the Cavaliers because I don't know how you're going to lose with that one. No, don't sell. Hold on to them. And that is NBA crypto. No rug pulls here, people. 617-779-7937. KJMWEEI. Good Sunday to you.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maury Povich. On my podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, I'm going to sit down with the icons, the stars, and the faces at the very center of today's big cultural moments. With everyone from comedians Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, Leanne Morgan, to newsmakers Don Lemon, Joy Reid, Aaron Parnas, and so many more. So join me for new episodes every week because nothing is off limits. Great conversations. They're always on par. Follow and listen to On Par with Maury Povich wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
I'm sorry. KJWEEI, 617-779-7937. Thank you so much for starting your Sunday morning for you, or you're probably just waking up and like, oh, my TikTok is gone. Banned in the USA. Those are the voices of the people who are just not adjusting very well, that they're getting the message saying, this thing got on. It's gone right now, baby. It may be back tomorrow, but I will ask you this. Do you think the leader of the free world, who's getting checked into the hotel for the most part tomorrow, the first thing he's going to do is turn the machines back on? I don't mean to laugh at anybody's pain, but people will say, well, look at all the other things that, you know, what Facebook collects your data. And they say, you know what? Because when they're American companies, you can haul their ass into Congress and ask them what they're doing. You can sext it. Watch this. You could even shut them down, too, if you don't like what they're doing. However, usually they give up a lot of money to the street in Washington, D.C. called K Street. No kidding. I'm not. But here's the thing. And this is, and maybe, so I don't want to get on to the youngsters, because this is, one, is you clearly now see how addiction works in many different forms, right? Like, the Surgeon General was not crazy. He was like, look, the phone is almost as addictive as cigarettes. Think about it. If you have a kid that you have to punish, like, a great thing about my child is they don't have a phone at all, so they don't know what they don't have. I mean, I could care less. She's 13. What do you need a phone for? But go to schools or talk to people who are in administration at schools, and they will tell you the phone problem isn't them getting on the phone calling people. It's sitting on the apps. So the apps, and this has just become that most addictive app. This is, look, people say, you know, look, you're trying to regulate. Trust me, they're not regulating content. They don't have that interest. If I'm a business owner, I would be super, super concerned that, yes, I'm making money through this app, but if a foreign adversary, let's just say, has the routing number to your bank account, what did he say? Like, there's 7 million businesses. I don't know, Dave, if you've heard this. Like, there's like 7 million businesses that conduct their business on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. There's so many. I mean, I don't, I'll take your word for it on the exact number, but it's crazy just scrolling through and seeing all the ads for random businesses I've never heard of.
So here's what's crazy. There's not 7 million routing numbers to banks for the U.S. Maybe take one big central bank, like, I don't want to use the term because they can always buy ads here, but they may have about 5 to 10 different routing numbers based on where you open the account. Let's just say 50 at the most. So let's just say there are 20 big banks in America and they all have 50 different routing numbers. That's still not 7 million. So why wouldn't the enemy potentially of the state say, huh, could we potentially create a software that can get through, say, the U.S. banking system and completely jackhammer it because people want to do a TikTok dance in front of their ice cream store? We make a little money off of it. That's the national security part of it. Yeah, KJ, stick to sports. Yeah, shut up. This is how one may have to think about why they do these things. Not because you want to do your dance or want to sing your song or you want to share your life. That I got newsflash for you. You know who usually cares about who shares their life on the social media person? The person in the mirror. That is who that content is the most important to, is the man or woman in the mirror. After that, it loses kind of shelf life, unless you're a performer or what have you. Like, you just heard the girl. I just saw the girl who invented the such and such dance. Meanwhile, this other country's like, we got their bank account information. We've got routing numbers. They want to set it off. We just hit a button. Watch what happens. People try and go to an ATM machine. Can't work.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you know this part, but yeah. They added a TikTok shop, which was the shadiest thing I've ever seen. And everyone's just flocking
to it. Keep swiping that card. Yep. Like, this is what's amazing. And I understand how people will, you know, spaz out when something, you know, because for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, though it's not equal. But, you know, people have run to this thing, this app called Redbook. Like, all the owned by ByteDance is like Redbook, Fanbase. So you're running Lemonade, something like that, I think what's called as well. All owned by the same company. You say, well, why are you not banning them? Because they don't have 170 million pieces of data in them yet. It's just once it starts to get too big, it's like rabbits in your yard. Once, you know, if you see a rabbit or you see a bunny or two in your backyard, you're not going to freak out. What happens when you see 10? I probably need to go get some control thing. I don't want to have a bunch of, because you have a bunch of rabbits in your yard. Guess what ends up coming to your yard as well? Predators. Damn, that worked. I think I'm a preacher in my little life.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. So when the predator sees 170 million, and out of that 170 million, 7 million are willing to give up their financial information, boy, the wolves are out. But the Red Book one, like 700,000 people said, we're just going to run over to Red Book because this is our way to protest. They're taking down TikTok, the whole nine and everything. Do you know that Red Book didn't even, they didn't even try to hide it? The terms and conditions are in Mandarin Chinese. And people are agreeing. Like, how do you know you've hit the agree button? Is it the shorter one, the shorter characters? Like,
just like both, hope for the best.
Right, like, you know, like, agree, disagree. Now, I don't know Mandarin Chinese, but I would agree. I would probably guess that the agree button has the shorter amount of characters and disagree has the long, maybe just a little bit longer amount of characters to it. And people are clicking agree and can't even read the terms of and conditions. Now, I could be wrong. It could be 700,000 people who know how to read Mandarin Chinese and are doing it. If that's great, there's some deep thinking going on here in this country, but I doubt it. So literally people are sitting on eggshells today. Go watch some damn football. Relax. The app is off for today. And I'm going to tell you a secret because some things I've seen over the course of my life. The app is going to stay off. Probably nothing is going to change tomorrow. Well, you know, I got some other stuff to handle other than an app. Next, the Bruins. It's a bigger mess. And, oh, guess who wasn't in the game in overtime last night? I wonder who that was. Next here on WEEI.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.